Remember now, love has to come out of a pure heart, has to come from a pure heart, no hypocrisy. The King James Version uses the word dissimulation. No faking, no phoniness, no falsity to it. Gots to be real. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, telling us a lot about love. Are you ready? Here we go. If I speak, oh, by the way, there had been some competition, some very, very unhealthy competition amongst the congregational members of the church in Corinth. A lot of unhealthy competition there, and some of that unhealthy competition centered around the question of who had the most significant gifts. Because, of course, the whole issue of who had the most significant gifts would settle the question of who were the most significant members of the congregation. It says, I have the most significant gifts. I am the most significant member. Or since we have the most significant gifts, we are the most significant members of the congregation. So we want you all to make sure that you look up to us. Isn't it a good thing that we don't have any of that going on in the church today? Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, of course, tongues being one of the gifts. He had talked about some of those spiritual gifts, as they're called, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Talked about the message of wisdom or the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the gift of working miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of being able to discern between, distinguish between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpreting tongues. So there's more that he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I want us, after I've just listed some of those gifts that he mentioned, fast forward back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He just finished talking about some of those gifts, and the last ones he mentioned, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. A clanging cymbal. Is that a nice way of saying I'm worthless? I have very little value. If I have the gift of prophecy, that's one of the gifts he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, he mentioned faith in that 12th chapter, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 2 again, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. How much value do you suppose nothing has? How much worth do you suppose nothing has? So let me take you back to the question I asked after I read verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Is that a nice way of saying I have little to no value? Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Think about that now. So many people expecting so much as a result of the works they've done. If I have not love, I gain nothing. Now listen to this illustration or description, or if you prefer to use the word definition, that's fine, of love, beginning at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. How many poor people or people who are struggling but are not poor? How many people who are involved in perpetual financial struggles envy the wealthy just because they're wealthy? Now, I think it's entirely appropriate to have feelings of misgivings about someone making a lot of money and they're not making it honestly or ethically. But to be upset with someone for being well off financially just because they're well off financially, I don't think that's right. And of course, there are other reasons that we envy people, but I thought it might be good if we look at that one in particular. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. When we think about that now, love is not self-seeking. That's giving us a clue as to why we love. It is not easily angered. Please notice now, does not say love, a person who loves never becomes angry. No. That's not reality. God loves perfectly. And he definitely has times when he becomes angry. Sure enough angry. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. By the way, that is a great way for you to determine whether some of the people you hang out with truly love, doesn't delight in evil, doesn't delight when evil comes upon godly people, but also they don't delight in doing evil themselves. There are people, the Bible lets us know, whose feet rush to do evil. And a lot of those people who rush to do evil are churchgoers. They are people who say they love God and who say they love the people of God. Love does not delight in evil. For those of you who are genuine Christians and you really do want to please God, and one of the questions you've been asking yourself is, does so-and-so really love some of these people the way he says he does, the way she says she does? If they delight in evil, for example, if they delight in slandering, and you know they delight in slandering if they're constantly doing it, then stop falling for that foolishness that people say, I'm not talking about the person, I just want us to pray. You know when it has clearly been identified as slander, gossip, an attempt to ruin someone's reputation, an attempt to cause someone to lose influence, not because they've done anything wrong, but because of something evil going on in the heart of the person who keeps slandering. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now that's love. How does love work in us? The way I just described, or in some way very different from the illustration I just shared from 1 Corinthians 13.